Well, God bless you. Happy Pentecost Sunday 2016. Let's take our Bibles this morning and let's go to Acts chapter 2. In this great and wonderful record, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." The day of Pentecost had fully come. It had always been in the process of coming from the time that Adam and Eve first lost the spiritual connection with God of spirit. It has been in the process of coming. The process has been, it's been upon men from time to time. Men had spirit upon them. And they walked with different amounts of power and authority according to their believing in their hearts and had that spirit upon them. You read in the record that Elisha asked for twice the amount of spirit that Elijah had on him. And if you go through the record, you'll notice that he did there are twice as many miracles written about Elisha than there were about Elijah. Different things like that. So it's been in the process of coming, but now it has fully come because it is God in Christ in us. Men and women have had great spiritual aspirations and desires for their life, and the day of Pentecost had fully come. Boy, oh boy. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Speaking about the 11 apostles plus Matthias, the 12 apostles. "They saw it, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The realization and the reality of their deepest spiritual aspirations and desires had been completely met, and now they could walk with great power. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ 50 days before and the death of our Lord were the darkest days in the history of mankind. But within 50 days of that terrifying event, great men, holy men of God, broke through their fear and hopelessness, excuse me, through another event that brought so much light and joyfulness, it changed the culture of where they lived completely in less than a decade. It can be done again if we believe and act upon the same word. Let's begin looking at this record 50 days before in John chapter 20, or within those days after the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 20, John chapter 20, and we'll start in verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." These were mighty and wonderful men of God who followed Jesus. They served with him. They had performed mighty acts that he himself had also done in the power and spirit of God. You can look at the records that are recorded of these men. Matthew 10, for instance, Luke chapters 9 and 10. They did these mighty signs, miracles, and wonders among the people. And now, with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it fell like a curtain of a tragedy that left them despondent and in great despair, frightened, helpless, and hopeless, totally drained. And Jesus appears to them in this house where they are behind closed doors for one reason. What is it?
Fear of the Jews.
Well, really, fear. Uncertainty. They were encased in fear and unable to move on from where they were. And Jesus' message to them is, Jesus stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Isn't that beautiful? Peace is the result of forgiveness enjoyed. And just like he said, it is finished. He bore our sins and our misgivings, our questioning of God's intent, our fears, our accusations of abandonment by God. Peace be unto you. The results of forgiveness enjoyed. Boy, oh boy. Verse 21. Then said Jesus again, peace be unto you. Even as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. The text reads, he breathed in, and the word then is not in most of the major texts. And said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit, or the gift of Holy Spirit. Boy, oh boy, here is the solution to come out of your fears, to come out of your despondency, to come out of your fear, your helplessness and your hopelessness, to come out of that drainage. Receive ye Holy Spirit. And we read on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, they received it and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they knew that they knew that they knew they had God in Christ in them on a permanent basis in all of its fullness and all of its power. The solution was, receive ye the Holy Spirit. But there were days between this event and that day of Pentecost. And in John chapter 21, let's go there to the next chapter. Because yet with all this encouragement, peace be with you. Enjoy your forgiveness. Forgiveness enjoyed. They remained in their doldrums and fell back into old priorities, as often happens to men and women. And in John chapter 21, it says, and after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which were John and John's brother, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, what?
I go a fishing.
Fell right back to the old priorities. Got to get back to work. Got to earn a living. Let's go fish. I go a fishing. I need to go back. And they all got lost again in their old jobs, their old careers, and forgot the life that they had led. These men were like you and I. They had great spiritual desires, great spiritual aspirations to really live and walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. These men, as other men, were trained in the ministry and enjoyed living that as their priority of life. And yet something had happened that just brought the curtain down on it. And they were going back to the old priorities. I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught
nothing.
That's what they caught through most of their pursuit of their career. What they really wanted to be was fishers of men. And when they were successful. And now they've forgotten that life that they once led, and they're heading back. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. Have ye any meat?
No.
Even with your expertise in all of your careers and all of the things, you didn't have the meat you really wanted. They forgot how they once trusted God and could hardly wait to go witnessing. Have a fellowship. Remember, Andrew, when he first met Jesus, went back to his brother Simon and said, we have found the Messiah. This is what we've been looking for all of our lives. Let's go now. And Jesus very gently and kindly remembers of his aspirations and his spiritual desires. He reminds Peter of the choices and decisions he had once made for his life. Let's go to verse 13. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than your old career? He's pointing at the fish. He's looking at the fish, but it's a representation. The choice you're making now is a choice you made in the past and it wasn't satisfying to you. Do you love me more than these? Remember when you heard we found the Messiah? We have really found the Word. We found the Scriptures. We found how to read the Bible. We found how to interpret the Scriptures. We found how to follow Jesus in a real life situation as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just something we did on Sunday, showed up, or read about, or just heard about. This was things we were living day after day after day. Jesus said to him, do you love me more than these, the old choices? He saith unto him, Peter says unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith, Jesus says, feed my lambs, feed my little ones. This record, as we go into it, I'll read it through. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep, my male sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Do you love me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. The word feed here is the word bosco. It means to provide pasture for my sheep, my female sheep. Isn't that something? This section here on this reminder from the Lord to Peter is a figure of speech called an epimone. It means to dwell on a point. And the point is, if you love me, there's something I want you to do. Do you love me? He dwells on that point. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? You know I love you. And each time the response has been, feed my lambs, feed my male sheep, and pasture for my female sheep. Do all of the work of a shepherd if you love me. In the Greek, this figure is called an epimone, to dwell on a point. The point being, if you love me, here's how. Here's what I would like you to do. In Latin, it's the word commemoratio, or to commemorate. When we commemorate, it is an honorable memorial, a testament of a noble act or work. Jesus said, "Do you love me? Then do the noble work of feed my lambs. Feed my male sheep. Feed my female sheep. Be a commemoration. Be that representation point." You know, in the Old Testament, when a mighty act or a very noble cause was accomplished, like when Joshua defeated some of the armies, they were told to take the stones and place them down as a monument, so that every time they passed those stones, they would look at those stones and remember, God is with us. We are victorious when God is with us. Feed my sheep, because you are the stone of witness. You see, well, let's look at Acts chapter 1. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8. Because Pentecost was to be this for the people of God and every day after. In verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit, "receive ye Holy Spirit," remember, "is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We are to be bigger than the stones of witness in the Old Testament, because we are the stone. You are the witness. You are the marker of the significant act of the fullness of the day of Pentecost had come upon us. The reminder and the commemoration of that great act and that great day. Acts 1:8, the word witness is the word in Greek, martus, or as we transliterated into English, martyr. In the Sanskrit, it is the word for remembrance. And in the Latin, it is the word that means a memoir, something that you participated in. You know, someone may write your biography, but when a man writes his memoirs, this is something I participated in. This is what I was a part of. This is what I represented. And for us, our representation is those great spiritual aspirations and desires that we had. You see, in English, the word martyr has been corrupted to one who bears witness by their death, one who is put to death for what he or she believes. Our calling biblically is one who lives for what he or she believes. A dead witness no longer testifies. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Provide pasture for my sheep. Feed my little lambs. Feed my male sheep. Feed my female sheep. Take care of my flock. Peter admitted he loved the Lord, and Jesus told him, "If you love me, then feed my sheep." This is the response to the love that you have for me. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my male sheep and my female sheep. I know what it is to earn a living. Peter did too, and so did Paul. But as Paul wrote to the Philippian church, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will feed us so that we may feed his little lambs. we may feed his male sheep, and we may feed his little female sheep. He has not failed our spiritual aspirations and desires. There's a common saying in our culture to follow your heart. But there is something in the word that says, teach our hearts to follow our calling and trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Our culture leads our children to drink from polluted streams full of deadly poisons. Don't leave them in the wilderness of false promises when we know only God's promises are true. Feed my little lambs. Do you love me? Then feed my male sheep. Do you love me? Then pasture my female sheep. In 1 Peter chapter 2, let's turn there. First Peter chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones, living stones of witness, the stones of witness, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or put to shame. You can realize your spiritual aspirations and your spiritual desires because he will not fail you, and he will see that you can accomplish them. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous life. Will our memoirs be written? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He will not fail us of our aspirations. He will not fail us of our desires. Let us not fail on our feeding of his sheep and taking care of his precious flock. Happy birthday, Church of God.